Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, the 14th day of October, 2011. We're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. This is, again, going to be one of the most important transmissions we've ever engaged in my almost 17 years in radio and TV broadcasting. We have Ray McGovern, former top CIA analyst, morning briefer to Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush joining us first, coming up in about 30 minutes. He, of course, was on with us a week and a half ago and said the green light is very close to being given, the most dangerous point we've ever reached with a giant Israeli U.S.-backed attack on Iran and the incredible ramifications of that. And, of course, it's more important than ever with this new plot. It's come out that this used car salesman from the Texas coast, Corpus Christi, was reportedly involved in a drug deal with Los Zetas, who publicly worked for the big private Federal Reserve banks, and that none of this was true. There was an informant leading the whole thing who himself talked about the plot to assassinate Santa Claus along with the Saudi Easter Bunny. I mean, this is absolute total bull. And you see a real shift inside the power structure right now where you've got on Infowars.com last night and today, all these links to mainstream articles. When you're on Drudge Report, when you're on big news sites all over the place, there are former Bush administration officials, the former Clinton people, anti-terrorism experts, FBI agents, Lieutenant Schaefer, who's joining us later. People are coming out of the woodwork saying this is as phony as a $3 bill and is a pretext to back an Israeli attack on Iran, which will help Netanyahu, who is in political trouble, and he's a political distraction, and Obama, who is dead political meat when it comes to the issue of Fast and Furious that's tied into Mexican cartels. But now it's Attorney General Holder and FBI Director Mueller. They're battling the Mexican cartels who work with those evil Iranians. So it's all coming up. Robert Baer, the big black ops CIA commander, he's gone public saying this is totally manufactured and phony. In fact, I called Paul Watson this morning, and he's busy on another article on the TSA, but I need to get Steve Watson, Kurt Nemo, Aaron Dykes, somebody up there at my office to do a report boiling down all the credible top terrorism experts coming out and saying this is totally phony, as I told you 3 days ago when it first broke. Then yesterday we began to get a clearer image of exactly what was going on and confirmed this is about green lighting. They have green lighted the attack. Just because the light's green doesn't mean Israel's going to go ahead with it, but it means that they are going ahead right now with the plan to launch a strike in the next 2 weeks upon Iran. I have this from Pachinik sources. I have this from my other military sources. I have this by family being deployed to Kuwait and being pretty freaked out about it, and other sources saying that it's a strike on Iran, a U.S. Preparing for a response to a strike on Iran and all the ramifications of that. And then, of course, Lieutenant Schaefer coming out and saying this is about a smokescreen for Fast and Furious and about an Iran strike, and that he has a high-level FBI source with the highest security clearance inside the Justice Department. This shows you that there's a lot of people inside the government, like the head of CENTCOM 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Fox Fallon, who refused to launch a strike on Iran. And had to step down because of it. So we'll tell you who's coming up today. Ray McGovern, Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer, Gerald Celente, Steve Pachinik, and more. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us. Spread the word about this show. You don't want to miss it.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen. It is, of course, Friday, the 14th day of October, 2011. And we are going to be live here for the next 3 hours. Joining us first will be former top CIA analyst, morning briefer to Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr., Ray McGovern, who a week and a half ago said that the strike on Iran was at its highest threat level in the last few decades, a Israeli strike backed up by U.S. support if needed. That will, of course, send the economy into a global tailspin, but it'll be a nice political diversion for Netanyahu, who is unpopular, and also Barack Obama, and all of this on the heels of the latest confirmed fake terror alert. We also have coming up Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, who's also part of some high-powered Pentagon think tanks, who's come out and said he talked to a very high-level Justice Department FBI agent with the highest-level security clearances and has confirmed that it's not in the database, it's not in the system. This is completely fake. Of course, now we have Robert Baer, the former top CIA black op commander, coming out and saying it's totally fake. We have high-level Bush administration officials, former Bush administration officials from W's situation. In fact, the top Iranian specialist coming out on Fox yesterday and CNN saying it's completely fake. And it's now come out in the affidavits that this guy got basically arrested under, that he was a drug dealer, reportedly, with Los Zetas, admittedly trained at Fort Benning, Georgia, and part of the proxy war that Obama's running, allowing Sinaloa to ship drugs in with Los Zetas, right here in South Texas, where I am right now, and in Corpus Christi, also on the coast in South Texas. That's where this used car salesman was involved, trying to sell marijuana. So they just set him up as a complete idiot. He reportedly was just a total drunk marijuana head, partying constantly, just screwing around with Los Zetas, and they set him up. And it's in the affidavits. The articles are at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, like the hundreds of plots we've seen the last few years, where they just go out and either provocateur a complete moron to shoot their mouth off when they're drunk about blowing stuff up. Yeah, I'll take on Tokyo. I'll blow up the Capitol. I'll fly to the moon. I'm so drunk. Or they just purely set them up. And it is confirmed that this informant, and again, it's in all the articles up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, just completely was running the whole thing. And it was total pipe dream. Where does this criminal government go? It goes to the drug cartels. It works with closely, who launder their money through private Federal Reserve banks. And it works with the Saudis, the same folks that went along with the fable of 9/11. And it works with the usual suspects. This is absolutely asinine. A, it's about launching a new war against Iran and backing Israel's attack on it and creating this announcement that, oh my gosh, we've got government-sponsored, having a Freudian slip. Oh my gosh, we've got Iranian terrorists everywhere. And so they tried to blow up something in Washington and assassinate people. We'll show them, just like Saddam had WMDs and nukes and yellow cake, and just like Manuel Noriega kidnapped U.S. College students. Turned out that wasn't true. I've seen the Panama deception where they go to the dorm and the girls are like, no one ever held us here. This was all made up. But thank you for being here, U.S. Army. It was scary as you blew up Panama City. So it's the same repeat that we've seen over and over and over again. The difference is, it's not just Alex Jones. Sure, 3 days ago I said it was total baloney, total cockamamie, hokum, garbage, disinformation, manufactured tripe, fables, delusions, a huge hoax, a marinated turkey of lies. Yes, I did say that 3 days ago because I know the enemy's MO. Now, anyone watching TV, you've got all the teleprompter reading minions sitting there saying, oh, no, the official story is true. Iran was going to blow everything up. In fact, there's more terror plots they're involved in. It's all about to come out. We got to hit them right now. And then every expert they have on, former CIA black op commander, Robert Baer, you know, former head of the Kill Bin Laden unit, Abel Danger, you know, highest level security clearance, Tony Schaefer, Colonel Schaefer coming out saying it's total bull. Talk to high level FBI, total bull, not in the system, total fraud. Top State Department officials, top former Bush administration officials. I mean, it is insane. Without even looking yesterday and today, it's just everywhere. Dozens and dozens and dozens of names. So I need Kurt Nimmo, Aaron Dykes, Paul Watson, Steve Watson, whoever wants to take this mission, because it's a hard one. Because it's like picking up seashells at the beach. There's so many hundreds of them. You have got to go through and just say hoax of Iran terror plot implodes and just go through it all. And the good news here is the Pentagon knows that this is not Iraq, that it's not Libya. The Pentagon knows this is not some cakewalk. The Pentagon knows there's 80 million Iranians. They lost over 1.5 million people fighting the U.S. through the proxy war with Iraq, and they're 25 million people. And the Iranians are focused and ready and are going to launch absolute proxy wars all over the Middle East and Central Asia that is going to probably end up routing out globalist forces that are sitting on top of the $500 billion a year in opium that our troops publicly grow and cultivate and fly out to run up your daughter and son's veins. They know the Iranians are going to just totally pull the stops out in proxy wars. And yes, the globalists will stage bombings here. It's not part of the Iranian strategy to strike over here. And all the top real terror experts have said that. But don't worry, the West will blow stuff up here to use it as an excuse to take your rights and liberties. That's how this all works. And so they don't care if it screws up even globalist crime operations overseas. The system needs this here as a smokescreen from the banker bailout. They need this here as a pretext to roll the TSA out on the streets with the new spy on your neighbor programs that are going on all over the place. And so they want to have the big prize be totally brought down. That's our once free republic. Remember, 90%+ of all this Homeland Security training behind the scenes was always about gun owners, landowners, people that can skin a buck, run a trot line, people that are gardening, people that don't like war, people that don't like GMO. Anybody on left, right, or center who's awake to anything is the enemy behind the scenes. I've been telling you that for a decade. Now they've come out public and said it's no longer Al-Qaeda. It's white people. It's white people. And they have all these TV ads where all the terrorists are white. The minorities report them. So they've already demonized and gotten white folks to go along with giving up their rights because, you know, oh, it's the brown people supposedly that are going to get us. That's that tribalism, that racism. Now they're shifting and going to all the other folks and saying, no, it's whitey. They're going to get you. So basically, everybody's a terrorist. And I told you all this was coming. And I told you with Obama falling like a shooting star and imploding and burning down and his own party calling for him to step down and not run again, that I said he's got a month or two. I said this last week. I said he's got a month or two for a false flag or a new war, some big crisis to make him look strong, as all his advisors are telling him. He's got a month or two max, or they're going to go ahead and remove him. I mean, I know what's in their playbook. I said they could also do a failed assassination attempt. I've said assassination attempts are the false flag as well. We even wrote articles about it earlier this year and last year. Paul Watson pointed out yesterday, predicting this type of garbage. So notice you're hearing about assassination attempts now against the Saudi U.S. ambassador. Now, when we come back from break, I want to tell you about TSA suicide squads. You heard me right, TSA suicide squads. I want to tell you about that. That's a shocking term. That's actually what they are. So we have some breaking news on TSA suicide squads. Now, when I came up here yesterday, I have amazing military sources, and then I'll also put it out open source to the general public. And I know that Israel has been saying last month they probably are going to go into Iran and start the bombardment. The bunker busters have been shipped over there, the cluster bombs to knock out their airfields so they can't launch retaliatory strikes on Israel. Those have all been delivered. More U.S. troops have been rotating and massing in Kuwait and other areas out of Iraq as the next staging ground to go into Iran, because they don't want to launch an attack if it's needed into Iran, into strategic ports and other areas out of Iraq, because then that would elicit those old feuds. It'll be out of Kuwait and other areas. And of course, U.S. forces wouldn't go into the whole of Iran. They would go in and hold the mountains, the passes over some of the different straits that are needed, like Hormuz, to bring the oil back and forth, or to remove and dredge that out of the Iranians, sink a bunch of ships in there like they've said they're going to do. There's also going to be the need to launch out of Kuwait and other airfields attacks on Iran. So all of that is going on. And you've got the anti-Shiite Saudi Arabia totally behind this, saying, we want the response. We want it to be launched. Now, we've got Obama says he's going to have a tough response on Iran's role in alleged plot. Now, again, this is already admitted to be a fake plot. But the military, the brass, just like Fox Fallon knew, I said 3-4 years ago, it was almost 5 years ago, when they ordered the head of CENTCOM to attack Iran and claimed that PT boats out of Iran had tried to attack them. We later learned he knew that Cheney had boats painted up out there. It wasn't just Cheney was wanting it, as New Yorker magazine reported. They staged some boats coming up saying, we're going to blow you up, to try to then order Fallon to attack Iran. Fallon refused, had to resign. Not because the Pentagon doesn't like war, not because the Pentagon doesn't like opium out of Afghanistan, but because they know the politicians strategically are biting off more than they can chew. And that this is going to get out of hand very, very quickly. And so that's why you now see and hear all these people, top terrorism officials, CIA people, Pentagon folks, military, all coming out and saying this whole plot is a fraud and a hoax, because they realize how serious it is if Israel launches this attack. That's why Panetta came back 10 days ago, 11 days ago from Israel, and said Israel's totally isolated. They're getting ready. We have an incredibly jam-packed transmission lined up for you. Ray McGovern is coming up, former top CIA analyst, and he's saying the same thing we're saying. This is as phony as a $3 bill, or even more so. It's as phony as fake vomit you buy at the gag store. It is not real. It's as fake as pyrite is compared to 24-karat gold. It is garbage. It is a hoax. He's going to be joining us over the hoax show is Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer. He's saying total hoax with FBI sources confirming it. We have Gerald Celente, who predicted they'd stage a new war as Obama imploded and the global depression came into place. He predicted that 3 years ago, as Bob Chapman, myself, and many others did. That's a default position for the globalist. Gerald Celente is joining us. And then Dr. Steve Pachinik. You can say what you want about Pachinik. He's obviously establishment. He tells you up front he represents Pentagon. He called me up yesterday. The phone rang like 10 times before I went and answered it, because I was running on the treadmill. My wife came out and said, this just rang 8 times. It rang 2 more times, so I answered it. And he's like, listen, they're getting ready to launch a war. Israel's going to do it. I've got the sources, as you know. You know, Alex, I do, you know, important work, and I care about this country. And I want you to know that the different people in the intelligence organizations really appreciate you. And you know we're not all bad and don't want this war. So, I mean, look at it. You've got Bush administration people coming out of the woodwork. Clinton people coming out. You've got Pentagon people coming out. You've got people that wrote the book on black ops coming out. You got Ray McGovern coming out, because the green light right now has been given. And then they just manufactured this story of, oh, look, the used car salesman was going to do all this with the Iranian secret military. Now, people think, well, this is shoddy. Well, it was shoddy when they claimed that Manuel Noriega had kidnapped some college girls in Panama City at an American university there. Turned out it was a fraud, but back then there wasn't an internet. It was a fraud of the WMDs. They got caught, didn't care. They don't care if they get caught. They just need an excuse at the time. But now their own people are coming out because it's more and more transparent. And also, a lot of the establishment does not want to hit Iran. They know it's like Hitler turning in the middle of World War II east towards Russia, or Napoleon doing it. It's biting off more than they can chew. And you had the former head of the Mossad 2 weeks ago come out and say, do not attack Iran, Netanyahu. Do not do it. Do not do it. Do not do it. So it's not monolithic Israel wants this either. Okay, this is really bad news. Even if you're an evil insider, you know, there's a lot of the insiders who don't want to be part of this because it's really bad. The Pentagon bucked Bush and Cheney on this. That's all come out now. Cheney admits in his memoir, in my time, that he wanted to hit Iran and the Pentagon and others didn't want to do it because the Pentagon is not a draft deferment guy like Cheney or Bush, you know, getting out of the Air National Guard or Obama or Hillary or any of these people. Or Netanyahu, for that matter. You know, his brother was a war hero, but not Netanyahu. Netanyahu is only famous because his brother got killed in a commando raid, saving some hostages. The point is that this does not need to happen, and it's going to make oil prices explode. It's going to be really bad news. Now, I told you that I was going to tell you about TSA suicide squads. You heard me right. TSA suicide squads. I want to really try to get the TSA's attention on this subject, but I can't do it in the minute and a half I have left before we go to break. We're going to have Ray McGovern for one long segment, and then I promise before this hour ends, I will tell you about the TSA suicide squads, and it's all hidden in plain view in today's USA Today. For some reason, my paper's cut a little bit, but there it is. USA Today dealing with the TSA. And if you're a radio listener, you're saying, what do you mean, there it is? Well, we're also streaming video via Skype up to prisonplanet.tv and simulcasting this entire radio/TV show today with InfoWars Live. That's what we call the 14-plus year running radio talk show in this time slot is InfoWars Live. You call it Alex Jones Live, but I like InfoWars Live. And then we're back weeknights, 7 o'clock, with a hard-hitting, super well-researched, very well-produced nightly news that is listener-supported at prisonplanet.tv. Mike Adams did a great job sitting in yesterday. I want to commend him. And I also want to thank Aaron Dykes for doing InfoWars Nightly News this evening. I have promised to go on the road more. I traveled around Texas last weekend to 3 different cities to end the Fed. Great job to all the folks that showed up there. I'm down here doing an investigative research right now near the Texas border with Mexico. I'll leave it at that. And I'm looking to start traveling around and speaking as early as mid-November around the country. We'll be right back, folks. How do we turn the green light off for war with Iran? Ray McGovern, straight ahead.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe. Our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest, I don't want you to ride, I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
All right.
I want you to get up right now.
get up.
I want you to get up and let the establishment know you're not putting up with what's happening. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're joined by Ray McGovern, former top CIA analyst to Ronald Reagan, George Herbert Walker Bush, their morning briefer. Of course, has a lot of context inside intelligence to this day. Now, we've also had Steve Pachinik call me yesterday and say, yes, his sources have told him that they are planning, Israel is planning to strike. I also have family in the military who've been shipped to Kuwait, and they're not talking. I called some other military sources. One of them got upset and said, don't call me about this, Alex. I'm not talking to you. And how do you know this stuff? Well, it's pretty obvious now. Congressman King has labeled Iran terror plot act of war, says Obama should have troops on standby. Of course, Panetta came back 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, and said, I guess 11 days ago to be technical, the head of the Pentagon, the Secretary of Defense, and said, well, Israel's on their own now. They're isolated. They've given them the bunker busters, the cluster bombs. This, Ray McGovern was on a week and a half ago, and he said, this is the closest we've been to a hit on Iran. And now you've got Bob Baer, the former black op field commander, coming out saying it's phony. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer talked to high-level FBI. They say it's totally made up. There is nothing in the system on it. You've got former Bush administration officials. We've got articles on Infowars.com about this. The top expert on the Persians saying this is totally fake. It turns out we've got the affidavit now. The informant set all this up. The guy was trying to make a drug deal, the car dealer reportedly, not involved in anything, an alcoholic pothead. And now they're saying more plots are coming out. This is a way to cover up Fast and Furious as well. A perfect storm. It looks like Israeli AIPAC elements, from my sources, are basically blackmailing Obama. This is kind of what McGovern said. He said they're going to politically destroy him if he doesn't go ahead with this. And they're off. And the neocons are pressuring, saying this is how you get reelected. We'll get behind you. So the big usual Republican suspects are behind it. You got that perfect storm: neocons, Republicans, Israel folks, some of the defense manufacturers, not the actual Defense Department, but the entire Defense Department, from my sources that are pretty high level, public and not public, say that the Pentagon, just like Fox Fallon 4.5 years ago said no, is saying do not do this. And another person telling us do not do this is Ray McGovern. So, Ray, thank you for joining us. I wanted to give some background, but my intel is 100% they've green-lighted it. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but they are testing the trial balloons. If this con job sells, they're planning to hit Iran sooner rather than later. What is your intel, Ray McGovern?
Well, Alex, glad to be back with you here. I guess I would start by saying that this cockamamie plot does not pass the smell test. I was amused, if you can be amused by such things, by Hillary Clinton saying, you know, you couldn't make this stuff up. Well, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And they did. And it was just yesterday that the information came out from David Ignatius, who has a column in the Washington Post. He's so close to CIA operatives that he pretty much acts as their surrogate spokesman. And what he let out of the bag was the fact that, as he put it, justice and White House officials were pretty skeptical. You know, they considered this pretty flimsy until CIA to the rescue. General Petraeus was able to gather information from inside Iran, mind you, that was so confirmatory that it lent credence to this, and the implausible all of a sudden became plausible. Well, give me a break. If you look closely at this, you know, used car salesman, Mexican drug cartel plot to assassinate the Saudi ambassador to Washington, it not only doesn't pass the smell test, it doesn't pass the comic book test. It would never sell in Hollywood because it's just too far-fetched.
Now, why, sir? Because in my experience, which is limited compared to yours, I've never seen, though, so many known Pentagon spokespeople like Pachinik, Schaefer, this top Bush administration expert who's come out. I mean, Robert Baer. There's so many of them. I've never seen such a chorus. Even the New York Times said this doesn't pass the smell test. Why is such a large segment of the establishment and the Pentagon saying this is total fraud?
Well, you took the words out of my mouth in citing the New York Times. Now, the New York Times has never, ever, ever been skeptical about what any administration spokesperson has said about Iran. Iran is black. Iran is you know, the devil incarnate. So for the New York Times to be casting doubt on these reports is really a new step forward for them. I mean, it shows, to me at least, that for once some adult at the New York Times said, hey, wait a second, you know, let's not get on board this one. After our experience with Iraq, this just smells even worse. Now, I just mentioned our experience with Iraq. Now, that was when we veteran intelligence professionals decided to form our little group for sanity, because we could see that not only the operatives on the other side of the house, but the analysts themselves were being prostituted, were being corrupted, were being forced to tell a story that was not true. Now, take the story about Saddam Hussein's ties, alleged ties, with al-Qaeda, okay? Nobody believed that. They were at loggerheads between the two of them, but evidence was procured. Now, it didn't suffice to have Doug Feith and Donald Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz's guys in the Pentagon to come up with this faux intelligence. No, no. They needed something better. And what most people don't realize is that the first big reason for the torture, okay, for the torture of all those folks down at Gitmo and at Abu Ghraib was to get somebody to, quote, admit, end quote, that al-Qaeda was being trained, being run by Saddam Hussein. And that's why Alibi, the Libyan terrorist who was apprehended and knew nothing more than how to, you know, arrange flights into the training camps of al-Qaeda, why he was sent to Egypt, and the Egyptians got him to, quote, confess, end quote, that there were indeed ties between Hussein and al-Qaeda, and that the Iraqis were training the al-Qaeda people in the use of chemical and other weapons of mass destruction.
And of course, sir, it turned out that all wasn't true, and KSM also confessed to bombing buildings that weren't built until after he'd been in custody for many years of waterboarding. But what does it signify, though? Is this good news that so many even establishment insiders have come out saying this is a lie? Because in the past, they would go along, as you said, with any lie. Does this show that maybe certain elements tried to greenlight it, and you know, now they're saying, don't worry, we've got more Iranian plots, and now we've got Congressman King saying, active war, get the troops ready, because the info I've got, and I've got family and logistics, they didn't tell me, I know they've been sent over there, but I know other military sources, they've been told, yeah, get ready to back up the Israelis during an Iranian response, get ready to drag stuff out of the Strait of Hormuz, all the things you've talked about here for years. You predicted, you said, if I was Cheney, knowing him, he'll probably try to attack our destroyers around the Strait of Hormuz. Then it came out he did propose painting up U.S. boats like blue patrol boats. So you've been able to really look into their mind. For me, it's positive to see people rejecting this pretty much across the board, but it doesn't matter. The pro-war people, it looks like, are just going ahead with it. What is your intel? I mean, A, what does it signify to have folks not buying it? B, are we on the razor's edge? You said a week and a half ago they were moving towards green light. Where is it right now?
Well, those are good questions, Alex. And I would say there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is the evidence that you adduce, that everybody and his brother and sister who knows anything about Iran thinks that this is a cockamamie plot, okay, invented. Now, that's the good news. And people are speaking out, as you say, even the New York Times. Now, the bad news is that the president himself I mean, it's bad enough that the Secretary of State, who famously called for obliterating Iran, it's bad enough that Hillary Clinton and that cat's paw Eric Holder, who is supposed to be our chief law enforcement official, the Attorney General, bad enough that they come out and they make these allegations. But Barack Obama is now on record as saying there has to be accountability. And he always tries to have it both ways. I don't know if you recognize that, but when he got up there, he said, yes, everything's on the table, but now we're trying to work out the really bad sanctions so that we can make these Iranians behave better and so forth. So the clear body language and everything else was sort of yes, but no. Sort of like, yes, we're going to send 30,000 more troops into Afghanistan, but no, we're going to bring them out 8 months later. Give me a break. The guy has no backbone, and you know he's incredibly naive to take at face value the plot such as this ginned up by John Brennan, ex-CIA, who runs his counterterrorism program in the White House. He's been burned so many times, that is, Obama has been, that you would think that he'd get some sense. I think it's more a case of Obama pandering, unconscionably, to the Likud lobby in this country. It's an election year coming up. He feels that he needs to show himself even more pro-Israel than some of the Republican candidates, which is quite a stress. And I think that's what's at play here. The danger is that he'll get into a position, maneuvered into that position by the likes of Netanyahu, who believes with considerable evidence that if Netanyahu were to perpetrate a strike, or to, the way they would do it is mount a provocation, that they would say Iran did X and Y and Z to them, and the Israelis had to retaliate. If there was a war that broke out there, Netanyahu is 99.4% sure that Barack Obama would have neither the guts nor the political courage to do anything other than to send those troops out there to help the Israelis or his cruise missiles.
Well, no, that's my next point. Obviously, you're getting the same information. The military officers I talked to are being told, get ready to defend Israel, and for the first time, this is going on the table. And of course, knowing these officers for years, they're always horrified. You know, they say, yeah, no, Iran's really bad news. We don't want to get into this. And that's my next issue. Who really runs this country then? I mean, clearly, correct me if I'm wrong, the mainline Pentagon is putting noises out. Don't do it. Don't do it. We had the former Mossad chief just a few weeks ago, as you know, came out and said it'd be crazy to attack Iran. So Israel's not even of one mind. Why is so much of the power structure so against hitting Iran? What do they know that the Likudniks and the neocons and Representative King don't know?
Well, they know what war is like, Alex, and that's a biggie, okay? You look around Obama and see if there's anybody around there that really knows what war is like. He did have a guy with some integrity, and that the guy's name was Mike Mullen. He was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And you may recall him going to Israel many times and coming back and holding press conferences and saying, I told the Israelis that it would be really, really a dumb thing to widen the war in the Middle East. I told them that they could, they could really perpetrate an escalation nobody wants. And then somebody asked him, well, Admiral Mullen, couldn't the Iranians steal off the Strait of Hormuz and prevent 30% of the oil in public trade from getting out? Well, yeah, they could. That's what I'm. And then he said, well, oh yeah, but we could reopen it. Yeah, well, how are they going to reopen the Strait of Hormuz when there are about 200 guided missile patrol boats that would sink their ships? And where are they going to get the Marines to climb those cliffs? So Mullen knew which end was up, and so did Admiral Fallon, who famously told my colleague, we're not going to do Iran on my watch, and got fired for it. The problem is they're gone. They're gone. And what we have now is a bureaucrat as Secretary of Defense. And I don't know about this new general who's head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, but I knew that the fellow who was in line for it, Cartwright, was rejected mostly by my friend Bobby Gates, because Cartwright was judged to be not quite always with the program, not quite knee-jerking, not quite saluting as smartly and as quickly as we expect. necessary to do. So my suggestion is that the people that prevented, and this is demonstrable, Alex, I think I've mentioned this before, I can demonstrate, anyone can, just by reading Bush's book, Bush's memoir itself, that we were close to war with Iran in the end of 2007 and the end of 2008. And in a nutshell, what prevented that was an honest, that's the good news, there were honest CIA analysts around then. They did an honest estimate and came to the conclusion that Iran had stopped working on a nuclear weapon at the end of 2003. So four years before then.
Sure, sure. But now. Sure, but here's my final question, the time we have, Ray.
Sure.
And people can read more of what you're writing at consortiumnews.com. But expanding on this, has the green light been given? Because what I've been told is the green light, Israel said, we're going to try to see if they can drag the U.S. along. And then a lot of the administration tried to sell this Iran thing as a way to try to sell the public. And that if we don't get the word out on this being a fraud, they're going to go ahead with the attack. Is that what you're getting?
Yes. Obama is playing with fire here, and I don't think he realizes it. He's not in control here. Israel is. And everything, as I've said before, depends on how much of a wimp, how politically boxed in Netanyahu thinks the president is, and whether Netanyahu can face down his own generals and his own heads of the former heads of Mossad.
All right.
It's crazy.
All right. Thank you so much, Ray McGovern. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you very soon. Pray for America. Pray for the world. Pray for peace. Pray for sanity. We are back live. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer is coming up. Gerald Celente, Dr. Steve Pachinik, and others today. Listen, I told you that by September they'd try to launch and overthrow Gaddafi on the ground. And they did have U.S. forces and NATO forces there. It happened, because I have sources at Fort Hood and other places. I told you that Cheney, and so did McGovern, told you he was planning a fake PT boat attack. Exactly that happened. Now, McGovern would say, oh, he just had a feeling. No, McGovern had sources. Okay, and he's so smooth. He'll just tell you, oh, I just had a prediction. We've been very close to this war. Look at all the other wars we've seen. And what they do is they wear you out and just get you to where you almost just say, get it over with. But they want to go into Iran right now as a political diversion globally, to the banker bailouts, to the world depression, to all of this. We are in an incredible position right now. And the fact that you see so many prominent people coming out from the Pentagon, you name it, the CIA saying this is bull, you never see that, is because this is so real. And it's very heartening, too. Because as crazy as the establishment is, there's a lot of different camps in it that are not completely insane. Now, I told you that the TSA, basically, what was the term I used? TSA suicide squads. This morning, I was thinking of a way to reach out to these TSA people, because they're human beings like us. And I know I've confirmed they call them behind closed doors and they say, are you concerned about radiation from the machines and the x-rays? And they say yes, they give them a pink slip 2 weeks later. Or if they don't want to grope small children's genitals, they get fired. So they're creating an army of people that are crazy. And Boston is the airport where they tested passive MRIs 8 years ago, or the 8 years ago they put the body scanners in first. Boston Logan is the main beta testing ground. There's four other airports that do it, but it's the main one. And now they're started. Here's USA Today. In Boston, airport security now begins with a chat. And they ask you where you're going, what you're doing. It's all part of training you to be a prisoner for domestic checkpoints. It's all part of training you that you're a bad person, that you're guilty until proven innocent. What about asking them, hey, statistically, a lot of you are pedophiles and thieves and criminals. Let me have a chat with you, TSA. How do I know you're not going to rob my bags? Well, they'll just say you're not going to fly. They're God. It's a federal power grab outside their jurisdiction. It's always more, more, more. Starts with take your shoes off, take your belt off. Now we're going to grab your genitals. And in the article, they admit, we're going to grab your genitals. We're going to grope you. We're going to put you through scanners. And we're going to question all of you. And they say, this is in a response to you not liking the groping. Now we'll just do all of it. Maybe cut back on some of it. No, they do it all. This is how they're breaking America's will. But this is why I call it Suicide Squad. It turns out that for 8 years, they have cancer clusters, depending on the type of cancer, 3 to 8 times the national average. And major universities. This is what liars the TSA and Homeland Security are. Last year, as you know, and earlier this year, they came out and said, John Hopkins has found that these are totally safe. And the head of John Hopkins Radiology came out and said, my study said massive cancer increase. And by the way, you better wear lead-shielded goggles. It's going to give you cataracts. A few exposures a year will do it in their studies. These people, and all the studies they wouldn't release to Congress, ended up getting leaked and came out, that the people around it are being baked. You idiots. My dad's a dentist. When he x-rays somebody with a low-power x-ray, he gets behind a lead wall. He puts lead over their chest and genitals, over their front. A chest x-ray is a lot more powerful than that. I watch the military inside the U.S. now at checkpoints. It's on Fox News. We have a clip of it. In upstate New York, having families drive under whole car x-rays while the military stands out under it. I mean, those people are walking dead. So these are literally TSA suicide squads.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we've had former top Bush administration officials, experts on Iran come out and say this whole plot is phony and manufactured. We've had Bob Baer, the former CIA black op commander, come out and say they're totally fake. Ray McGovern, former top CIA analyst to Reagan and, of course, Bush Sr., come out and say it's totally phony. There are literally now hundreds, I can't even keep track, of top experts coming out and saying this is totally fake and phony. We now have the affidavits they used to arrest this used car salesman, drunk pothead. He was just trying to do a drug deal with the very Las Zetas that the Justice Department allows to ship drugs in and ships guns into Mexico. So a cover for Fast and Furious, a pretext to launch war against Iran, and the consensus of experts is Israel has green-lighted an attack and is trying to get the U.S. to do it. Congressman King labels Iran terror plot act of war, says Obama should have troops on standby for a strike, not even having Israel strike. Joining us for the next 30 minutes is Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer. His bio is too long, but he ran operations trying to kill bin Laden and was blocked. He's best-selling author of Operation Darkheart, and he dropped a bombshell 2 days ago, and we wrote an article about it at Infowars.com on Andrew Napolitano's Fox Business Show. We're going to break in a moment. We'll get kicked off here now, saying that he has an FBI Justice Department source that told him this whole plot was not in the computer system. So this isn't just experts saying it looks phony, it's fake, it's a pretext for war, a political smokescreen. He says he talked to a Justice Department official who has the clearance and said it isn't in the system and it should be. So joining us is Anthony Schaefer. Colonel, good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you for having me back. Good to be on again.
Sir, we're going to break here in just a few minutes, but let's go right to the heart of the matter after the break. Right now, what are your sources saying? Is the attack on Iran right now green light?
Well, you know, that's, I got to be honest with you. I just met with them again, and I went through everything one more time just to make sure everybody's clear. And look, I'm getting the same thing. There's just no information within their systems indicating the background on this, which is a huge red flag for a lot of guys on the inside. Secondly, I got to tell you, even if there's a desire, Alex, there's really very little military capability. One of the things that was revealed to me is that, yeah, there's been a call that's gone out for capability to do something, but, you know, for better or for worse, everything is really tied up in Afghanistan right now. So, you know, there may be some elements here who are desiring the outcome when we move forward, but I got to be honest with you, the former issue of what you said in your introduction, the issue regarding Southwest border and the Zetas, I really think is driving the train at this point, because I don't think there's any way we could credibly put together a military capability to do anything.
Okay, some stations don't carry this first 5 minutes, so I want to come back, Colonel, and recap all of this, but did I hear you correctly? you talked to your Justice Department source and they said, yeah, it's not in the system. And basically, if this thing did exist and wasn't a fabrication, it would be in the system, or somebody doesn't want the investigation looked at and has expunged it?
Either one of those are the options we're looking at. Absolutely. The idea is this. You know, people who have the need to know don't have any information that they could look at. And that's incredible, especially at this point in time after this has been out in the news several days. There's normally a great deal of information showing how the investigation came to the conclusions it did. And they're telling me, and I talked to another expert this morning regarding the actual indictment and the details of that, the actual indictment will not hold up in a court of law, according to my expert. So basically, there's a twofer here, Alex. First, there's no credible information inside the system where people should be able to find it if they have a need to know and right to know the information. And secondly, the experts have looked at the actual indictment are telling me this is not going to hold water when it comes to trial. So that, therefore, you know, please don't get me wrong. I do believe the Iranians are a threat. There's things that they have done and are doing which threaten the country. All I'm saying is right now, this one instance does not look to be legitimate from everybody I'm talking to.
All right, well, then the question is, I want to come back, Colonel, and we appreciate you joining us to recap everything you've said and flesh it out in more detail, and then ask, why is this coming forward now, and what's the outcome going to be? Because they're talking about cooking up new plots. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
My friends, in the last 16-plus years I've been on air, few things I've covered have been as important as we're covering right now. And I got to be honest with you. As bad as things are, you don't know who's good and bad until you get to that crisis moment. And I am heartened by the fact that I have literally, without even trying, seen more than 50 analysts. And I know there's more than that. Top Clinton, Bush administrations, you name it, come out, Pentagon people, Colonel Schaefer, FBI people giving him information, Steve Pachinik, Ray McGovern, Bob Baer, coming out saying this Iran situation is totally, totally phony. And these are people who fought Iran. These are not people that are, you know, peaceniks or something. The point is, why has this been manufactured now? Now, Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, best-selling author of the book they tried to redact, Operation Darkheart, the guy that had the top al-Qaeda people in his sights, was barred from killing them pre-9/11, the guy that was persecuted for blowing the whistle but came out stronger on the other side for Able Danger, a real patriot, Colonel Schaefer, joins us for the next 20 minutes, and then we've got Gerald Celente joining us, and also Dr. Steve Pachinik, who worked in a lot of different black op capacities, including assassinations and overthrowing governments. He called me 10 times yesterday morning. He never ring till I got off the treadmill, went over and talked to him, and he said, look, they're trying to green light a war. He has all the Pentagon sources, but I was just getting some good news from Colonel Schaefer, if you missed the last segment, saying there are people that want to launch this war, but the assets aren't there. So I want to walk through this carefully. But Colonel Schaefer, take your time, because obviously that became a big national news story when you were on Judge Napolitano's Fox Business and said your high-level Justice Department source with a high-level security clearance said it was not in the computers. That sends up red flags. Specifically, what do you mean by red flags? What does this signify? You said you met with the source again today, or did you say yesterday, to make sure you were right about this now that it's such a big story? And then your incredible Pentagon connections, is this green lighted? Because I've had family officers who were just deployed. They won't tell us what it is. They say it's serious. I have other sources that said, well, yeah, you're right. We are being told, look to back up Israel in an Iran attack to get stuff out of the Strait of Hormuz. But I didn't tell you that. But I know you are high level in the think tanks and the Pentagon connections and, you know, lecture on actual strategy level. And so your security clearance has been as high as it gets. So you've got sources I don't have. So let's walk through here for people the magnitude of this, because a lot of my sources say this is the closest we've gotten to an actual attack on Iran. And you've got Congressman King saying this is an act of war. Obama's got to get the military going. Certainly, this is the biggest drum beating I've seen. And why would they use such a faulty piece of garbage to sell this? You've got the floor, Colonel. Break it down.
Well, thank you. Well, first off, you know, I think it is very clear that the thing that we must do, and this I've talked to a lot of folks who are of my mind, you know, the last thing we want to do, Alex, is make an enemy of the Iranian people. The Iranian people are Persians, and frankly, they are as fed up with the theocracy which rules them as we are. The thing is, though, we cannot afford to make them an adversary in the process of moving forward. That's why I think the military debate is so important at this point, because some people recognize you want to have all the different components available to you to do things at the same time. The last thing you want to do is actually do something which will enable the theocracy to actually clamp down even more on the people. And that's the issue right now that I'm being told is really kind of the thing that's pushing people back. Now, regarding the history, let me be very clear for your audience so they understand. Look, when I was in Afghanistan, and this is in my book, Darkheart, we found the Iranians were up to no good as early as 03. There's two chapters devoted to an interrogation of a U.S. citizen who was of Iranian descent. His brother was working for the IRGC, and his brother was there in eastern Afghanistan on the opposite side of the country from Iran, paying people to stir up trouble against us. So let me be very clear here. I'm not pro-Iranian by any circumstance of the imagination. I have seen what these people, what the Iranian IRGC has been doing to try to kill our soldiers. So there's no way in heck that I would ever come out for the Iranians. With that said, I think we have to have to understand that we're playing a chess game, and simply, you know, pushing our military towards a kinetic solution is not the best solution here. And what concerns me is that this, as you mentioned in the introduction, this operation just smells, this assassination concept smells of a plot. And let me tell you something, this is an exclusive for you guys. I got to tell you, I was at my publisher yesterday in New York City, and I actually asked him, did you guys leak this the outline of my next book? Because frankly, a lot of the stuff that's in this current plot is actually in a plot line we're working on in my next book. So I got to be honest with you, Alex, I was flabbergasted when I saw this, you know, materialize in the press, because much of this is not only like a Hollywood script. Frankly, you know, we were looking at doing something in fiction which mimics very closely what's going on in this so-called plot. So that's what made me just sit up and say, wow, there's something really wacky about this. And that
well, Colonel Schaefer, for those that don't know, a lot of times, different agencies, even different governments, will use plot lines to actually carry out real attacks or fake attacks. They will also, as has been admitted for 12 years that I know of, the Pentagon, the CIA actually pay script writers to write scripts for them, quote, to be able to imagine what terrorists might do. So the fact that you went to your publisher when you were in New York to be on MSNBC yesterday, because I know you were there, you couldn't come on here yesterday, and that you're saying maybe somebody leaked your script and that maybe the White House used it. Is that what you're getting at?
Well, it may be, because, I mean, there's so many parallels there to this thing. And, I mean, if frankly, what we're looking at here is a plot where 24 meets the Sopranos, which makes me, you know, obviously it's great for fiction, but I think the reality of which we're faced with is entirely different. I mean, and let me tell you, as an intelligence professional, this used car salesman would be the last individual in the world that I, as a professional intelligence officer, would direct to get in contact with a drug group to become a group of assassins. Let me tell you, on the face of that, you know, that is beyond any operational knowledge that any intelligence officer would do. You just don't trust someone with that lack of focus and training to do something that would be that key and critical to an assassination plot. It's just not done. So
wouldn't you normally go after well-performing former military people or doctors or engineers or people that have shown that they're focused and professional?
There's a term, and you've used it before, called vetting. One of the key elements of any successful intelligence operation, you can ask Bob Baer this. Bob would probably tell you the same thing. The key to a successful intelligence operation is vetting of an asset, to make sure that you test them adequately to make sure that they will do your bidding when the time comes. And frankly, this guy was, from as far as I could tell, I wouldn't have used him to do basically a dead drop for me, because I think he's not even that reliable. And the second second thing that you need to look at, and I hope your audience looks at very hard, is the wire transfers. My goodness, you know, since the beginning of the current war, everybody's been looking at high-dollar transfers of money. So, again, an intelligence organization with the professional background of the IRGC or the Quds Force, you know, I think they watch us very closely. So for them to make an amateur mistake tells me one of two things. First, there was a radical element within the Quds Force who was just doing this on their own and really kind of wanted to discredit the other side. And let's not forget that within the Iranian government, there is a huge conflict going on between Ahmadinejad and the other folks who want to do different things. So there is truly a conflict there. So this could well be good news by the fact that there's a visible break within the government, and someone there did this trying to prove a point. But on the other hand, this could be, again, a provocation by someone here who basically wanted this to be caught. And again, I've talked to a number of intelligence professionals, many of which, Alex, are... and again, like you've already said, these guys and gals are not pro-Iranian, but they've told me, based on their experience, because I wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy, that based on their experience, this basic format does not add up to any known format for a successful intelligence operation. If you're really,
but it is, but it does fit the format that we've seen hundreds of times the last few years of the FBI setting up mentally ill patsies, yes, or just purely setting people up. And as you mentioned, the affidavit, it's in the news today with those that have seen the affidavit that it was the informant running the whole thing, and this was just some idiot trying to be part of a drug deal and make some money, and it isn't even designed to hold up later. It's just a pretext to launch a war. So I want to, Colonel Schaefer, I want to go back here specifically because this is what everybody really wants to understand. Tell us as much as you can about your high-level FBI Justice Department source with a security clearance. You said you've met with them again just to make sure what they told you was correct. You said in the last segment that yes and more. What are they telling you about this not being in their files, not being in their computer system?
Well, there's three things notable. First, obviously, if you're on the inside, this is kind of common sense. The first thing you're going to do if you're a security expert with an interest or responsibility in terrorism, you're going to look at this to see if it means something to you directly. So a lot of these guys will sit down and go through, because they had the clearance, and they'll start doing research within the classified realm and find out what's going on. Well, the first point, Alex, was when these friends of mine decided to go check it out, it's like, there's nothing there. And that's highly suspect, because normally the government, especially inside, wants to brag about what it's done well. And, oh, by the way, if there's a threat that's derivative of this that you need to be concerned about, they put it out there. So, again, in this case, there's nothing really out there from what they're telling me. Now, again, I don't have direct access. I'm going with what they've told me. So that.
And, by the way, this thing goes back months and months and months, so it's also an older case.
Right. And let's remember that all this really started transpiring in September, but really wasn't revealed until, you know, a couple of days ago. So that's the first indication that something is not quite right. Secondly, relating to the fact that this is a Southwest border thing, they feel that this may be distracting directly from other things going on. Now, their view of it is that this is actually something trying to draw attention to the Zetas, because there's a competing drug group in the Southwest border that the Mexican government is now going after, and basically they're telling me that they believe that the Zetas were pointed out specifically in this because there is a desire to kind of prop them up and draw more attention to them. So they believe, my inside guys think, that this may be a plot to try to draw attention to this one drug group over one of the competing drug groups. And I have to get more details on that because I'm not an expert in that area right now.
Well, let me give you details, sir. The only reason I'm a quote expert is we've been following it. I'm down here in Texas, and Celia Castile was a DEA agent they set up for guns and actually put in jail over this. 6 years ago, he told me all this was starting up with competing drug cartels, some backed by the U.S. government, others by other factions. And since then, it's come out, El Paso Times, Chicago Tribune, in these court cases, Sinaloa is allowed to ship in unlimited cocaine. This is confirmed. The feds have now declared national security in Chicago and have said basically it's true. And then they're given the thousands of guns that are directly given to them by ATF. And then this is confirmed going back at least since Obama got in, but some of it goes back further. And so what you just said there with Zetas and Sinaloa, there's a lot of heat on Sinaloa right now. And there has been this move to try to focus it over onto Zetas, but also notice it lets the attorney general talk about fighting Mexican cartels and just muddies the water with people that are barely paying attention to, oh, that's the attorney general fighting the Mexican cartels with the Iranians, you know, who are involved, instead of what is the Justice Department doing shipping guns to Sinaloa?
Right, and that is exactly the point they brought up to me, saying that they think that that's the real issue behind what's going on. And the third point goes back to an extension of the point we just talked about. We need to be looking at what's going on in that area because, frankly, you know, if the Iranians, even if this was a real plot, the fact that they would try to direct someone through the southwest border should indicate that there may be a weakness there that we need to look at. So basically, the three points are, you know, first off, there's just not sufficient information in the classified system that would go with a high-profile case of this nature, both from the derivative, hey, look out for this because something may happen on your watch, and by the fact that there's no information available kind of filling in the rest of the details for those who have the clearance. Secondly, they believe this links directly to the Zeta issue, trying to draw more attention to the Zetas over this competing group. And third, they believe that the fact that this is all transpiring on the border should give everybody pause and really make everybody look down there. And one of the things that they didn't tell me this, but it's a saying that I've always lived by. One time, Senator Trent Lott told me in the Fox Green Room, he said, Tony, no matter what they're talking about publicly, the real issue is something else. So frankly, Alex, I think what we need to be looking at is what is the other issue here? Is it a pretext for war, or is it a kind of the bait and switch getting us to look at a different direction regarding the southwest border issue? But any way you look at it, any way you cut it, the real issue is somewhere else out there, and this is why I encourage you and your listeners to actually encourage, you know, the government owes us more explanation on what's actually going on, because at this point in time, nothing seems to add up.
Well, you're right, and you just raised a point that I thought about privately but hadn't raised, and it may have gone over some people's heads who were just driving down the road, not really listening clearly or closely. But a lot of times when the establishment knows there's about to be an attack and they want it to happen for political purposes, or they don't think they can stop it, whatever the case is, they will focus attention onto a patsy and a region so that when the attack comes, they say, see, we tried to stop it. And I think that's what you were basically starting to allude to.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is, again, a concern from the folks on the inside. It's like if they are saying this, if there's, and this looks so hokey, there may be a reason why they're getting people distracted to do something here. So now they don't know of any other attacks or obviously anything else. We're just focusing on a specific issue. But, yeah, Alex, the problem is this. There's so many holes in the current story. Everybody is so distracted on trying to figure out what is really going on. There may be other things that aren't being looked at, which we should look at. And this is a pattern. This is where we've done things like this before. And it's very important for your listeners to understand that they need to demand accountability. And frankly, I'd like to believe the intelligence officers you've talked to, that I, you know, one of the reasons I'm speaking out, is that our government owes us a fair and true accounting of what they're doing to defend us. And more importantly, the evidence they bring forward should be ironclad to the truth, not some fiction they draw up or put together based on the fact that they've taken people of diminished capacity and tried to prop them up as a threat.
That's my next point for you, and this is the heart of it then. Look, and I know you like to give people general information, but just boiling it down here, you've got the subpoena that they knew was going to come out the next day. And so the day before the subpoenas, on lying about Fast and Furious, which in the court documents is cocaine allowed to be brought in, Justice Department involved, 8 federal agencies, not just ATF, but DEA, FBI, Border Patrol, Coast Guard. I mean, this is incredible. And then shipping guns, which is now confirmed, not just letting guns be sold, the ATF shipping them to Sinaloa. I mean, this could have brought them down. So right as these subpoenas go out, this whole smokescreen comes out. I mean, is that what you're getting at?
Yes, it is. I think that's where we need to be concerned about the timing of this. And again, let's just look at this from the common sense perspective. None of us have any background. Why on earth, if this was that key an issue, would you wait almost 2 weeks before talking about it to the American people if this is really that credible a threat and you've got the guy? Secondly, the timing could not, you know, I don't believe, after being in this town for the past 25 years, I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe that somehow, out of the goodness of the DOJ's heart, that Eric Holder then said, we need to get the word out because it's the right thing to do. I do believe that the information coming out the day before the additional subpoenas were coming over from Congressman Issa's staff was an indicator that they don't want to have people talking about this. And frankly, this was such a provocative concept. And again, let's look at the Hollywood value of this, Alex.
It was meant to be sexy. It was meant to get people to buy into it.
Yes. You're talking about all the sex. You're talking about multiple countries, international intrigue, characters that came out of the central casting, all coming together for something that was, it was like throwing red meat to lions. And I think that's what they were hoping for here. And I think they overplayed their hand, which is probably good for all of us.
All right, Colonel, the book is Operation Dark Heart, best-selling, available at Amazon, everywhere else. We really appreciate your time. In the 2 minutes we've got left, this is very encouraging, unless I heard you wrong earlier. You're saying, from your Pentagon sources, they're saying we just don't have the capability right now to back up Israel in an attack. But Israel sounds like they are going in. We saw Panetta 11 days ago say Israel's more isolated than ever. What is the, in 2 minutes, the analysis from your perspective on where we're going with Iran, where Israel's going?
Let me say this very quickly. First off, the Iranians do pose a threat. They have a theocracy which hates us and everything we're doing, and they are developing nuclear weapons. I spent last week working with National Defense University on an exercise regarding electromagnetic pulse weapons, which we believe the Iranians are developing, which could do huge damage to us, but I don't believe they would draw attention to themselves at a time of trying to develop a secret weapon. I just don't think that's in the cards. And frankly, this administration has been more forgiving to them than any other, so I don't think they'd want to prompt anything going against that. With that said, I think we are overstretched. People are telling me that while there may be desire, there's no capability to go in and do the level of strikes necessary to take these things out. And lastly, we've got to figure out a way to help promote the citizens of Iran and their desire to be free without jeopardizing our own security. So that's the tight wire we have to...
But you're saying the word from all your inside sources is that they're not going to go into Iran. What's the word on Israel then?
I'm trying to find out. I got to be honest with you. I have no information on that right now. All I know for sure right now is that there was a call for capability, and basically the answer came back. Everything from Iraq has either been put into Afghanistan or is basically so broken you can't use it. So that is the way I'm hearing.
What about troop builds up? What about troop buildups in Kuwait and other areas?
Alex, the troops are always going to be there in some form. The question is, obviously becomes, do they do a surge or not? And frankly, I think that a surge would be picked up on pretty quick if they started doing that. At this point, I have no indication from my guys that they're going to be able to do that. So,
okay, well, that's certainly good news then. I mean, from your camp and from your sources, that there have been calls for this. We know King's calling for it. He wants troops standing by, the congressman. But you're saying that isn't the direction that this is going in right now?
Not right now. It could change.
All right, Colonel Anthony Schaefer, thank you for spending time with us. Amazing information. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with Gerald Celente. And we've got a big report that's up on the Drudge Report right now. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are here. And I am on the road today, joining you from right by the border, down here investigating the national news stories that we're all covering here today. The TSA is announcing in Boston, where they beta test, that they'll now ask you where you're going, what you're doing, and if you're a terrorist, all part of training you that you're the bad guy. How about asking them, hey, you're caught stealing all the time. You're caught being pedophiles every day. You're radiating yourselves to death. You're the walking dead. How about we treat them like they're guilty until proven innocent? Oh, but they're the government. We can trust them. If you go to drudgereport.com today, if you look on the right-hand side, third link down, and you click on that link, it says House bill would criminalize satire of the Transportation Security Administration, the federal out-of-control power grabbers. On September 22nd, 2011, and when Kurt wrote this article this morning, I went and checked. We did break this. This has been out for weeks, and nobody even knew. H.R. 3011 was introduced, and you can go read it. It's entitled the Transportation Security Administration Authorization Act of 2011, and it's got all sorts of power-grabbing language, but it says you will get felony time if you make fun of them in any way or even write the words TSA. Or any likeness thereof. You don't talk about them. They're like God behind the holy veil. You don't even go in there unless you're a high priest groper of the TSA. So go read that article. Just absolutely incredible. It says any imitation of TSA, FAMS, FAM, words or initials or likenesses of a Transportation Security Administration or Federal Air Marshal Service logo or insignia or any item of apparel in connection with any advertisement, circular, book, pamphlet, software, or other publication, or with any play, motion picture, broadcast, telecast, or other production. You don't show it in a movie. Of course, it'll all be selectively enforced. You don't show a photo of a TSA person in your book. They are now God. They better be God, because I call them the walking dead. What was the term I used today? For them in Boston, where they tested the body scanners 8 years ago, and they have 3 to 8 times the different types of cancer increases. I called it TSA Suicide Squad, because they're all just roasting. It's been admitted in the high radiation. And if you're smart and get out, they don't care. They just get people that are so dumb, they'll die for the power to rob your bags and grope your children. I saw an article this morning about another one busted for child porn. That was one 2 days ago. I mean, who do you think wants to grab and get in the diapers of babies? Now, and we're about to go to Gerald Celente here, but I go back to this. A lot of them are just mainly veterans who want a decent paying job, $20 an hour. A lot of them are post office people that got laid off because the post office is shrinking. They're either control freak thugs or they're just people that want a job. Because everywhere I fly, they go, Alex, we know we want to get unionized. We don't want to be doing this, but it's a job. Here, let me have your signature. And they shake my hand and stuff. So I, again, it's this compartmentalization, but it's out of control. Now, Gerald Celente joins us for the next 45 minutes, and I'm very honored to have him. You know, he had his big issue that came out at the start of the year titled The Next Great War, 21st Century, The Next Great War. I forget the exact headline. It was a newspaper-style headline. We can pull it up and put it on screen, or the man himself can give me the exact headline. I'm on the road, so I don't have it in front of me. And for a lot of us who research history, we're like, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Well, no, it's not for the general public. But Gerald specifically called it and said they're going to try to start a wider war. And they're trying now. The difference is this plot has got people left, right, center, you name it, intelligence agency people, retired, high-level experts. I already listed it earlier, coming out and saying this is manufactured, this is a fraud. The affidavits have now been seen. Total setup. It is just crazy what's happening. Now they're calling it the greatest economic crisis since the Great Depression. Now they're admitting we never left the recession, when they called Gerald Celente a pessimist porn dealer, when they called me a lying kook. The truth is the system knows what it's doing, but it's busy robbing everyone. Gerald talked about the euro falling apart 3 years ago. Now it's doing it. But the white shoe boys, as he calls them, want to get more power out of the crisis that they have created. So, Gerald, there's a lot going on in the world. I wanted to get you back on because so much has happened. and the establishment lackeys are trying to launch this new war. What do you make of this, and what do your other analysts there at the Trends Research Institute make of this, Gerald?
Well, it's exactly what you said, this latest Iranian fabrication, and how they keep teaching us to hate the Iranians. What have they done to us recently, you know, other than us trying to steal their oil going back into the early 1950s, when we, along with the CIA and the MI5 over there in the UK, overthrew the democratically elected government of Mossadegh in 1953, because Standard Oil and British Petroleum, of course, they were Anglo-English, I believe, Anglo-Iranian in those days, who were controlling the oil fields. So what are really, I mean, Iranians didn't invade Afghanistan. I don't believe the Iranians invaded Iraq either. Didn't the United States start a war against Iraq and Iran? Oh, and the Iranians, they didn't invade Libya, did they? So these terrible Iranians, so now we're getting, they're prepping us to hate the Iranians again. And when all else fails, they take us to war. This is what we wrote in 2008 when the TARP program began. We said they were building the bailout bubble. And when all else fails, you can see it happening. The crash of 29, the Great Depression, currency wars, trade wars, world wars, the panic of 08, the Great Depression that we're in, the currency wars. The Senate just passed a currency bill against China. China has responded that trade wars are beginning. The financial cabinet minister of Brazil, Manteiga, currency wars are underway. Panic, depression, currency wars, trade wars, real wars. The world is at war. Only an idiot or somebody totally out of touch can't add it up. Let's go around the globe. Tunisia, Egypt, Yemen, now Saudi Arabia, Libya, Syria, Bahrain, Morocco, Algeria, Nigeria, Somalia, Ivory Coast. Go over to the UK, riots in the streets this last summer. Over in Spain, take a trip over to Greece. Hey, now right here in the USA, this whole Occupy movement, it's in Denver, it's in Portland, it's in Seattle, it's in San Diego, it's in Los Angeles, it's in Auburn, it's in Trenton, it's in Atlanta, it's everywhere. Birmingham, Phoenix, San Diego, Sacramento, it's spreading. The first great war of the 21st century has begun.
And Gerald, when people lose everything, they lose it. We've just been covering common sense history. You've been boiling it down in a very concise way. But then you and I still, and others, get demonized by the establishment. They think they have more credibility because they're always proven wrong. But as you've said, they're not really wrong. They're there lying to people. And so we see the mainstream media actually hemorrhaging viewers and support. Where do you see that going? I mean, how long can the limp-wristed establishment whore media pacify people when everything they say is basically a twisted lie?
I mean, how long could the prostitutes keep playing prostitutes?
Yes.
So how long does a prostitute become a prostitute? They die as prostitutes. They live and die by it. These people have no backbones, with the exception of a very few. They keep sucking up and bowing down and serving their masters for their pay. So you're not going to, by the way, nothing is going to change with the systems that are in place. So when you look at all these protests, by the way, I mentioned Tunisia, I mentioned Egypt. Here's the new boss, same as the old boss. All the rioting going on over there in Greece every week, massive riots, demonstrations. Nothing changes. The systems have to change. So now this is really, I have to tell you, you know, I gave up on the American people. I thought that they were a bunch of mommy's boys and spoiled girls that wouldn't be fighting. this movement has really legs to it. It may not, you know, this might not be it. But when you put the Tea Party together, you put this together, you look at all the social unrest around the world. No, what they're going to do, what the media is going to do, is they're going to prop up the war machine, just like the toilet paper or record does. Look how they got us into this Libyan war. You remember, Alex, the one that was going to end in days, not weeks. You know, that, what was it, time-limited, scope-limited kinetic action that's been going on now for 8 months.
And now it's a minor footnote that, oh, Gaddafi's still fighting on. Pentagon surprised. I saw that on Monday, Gerald. And let me ask you this question, and then I want to get into future trends with you. Gerald, what do you make, though, of all the teleprompter readers I've been watching at CNN, Fox, MSNBC, CNBC, Bloomberg? The talking heads are, yes, Iran's got the nukes. We've got to get them. They launched this attack. But it doesn't matter if it's Clinton, Bush, Bob Baer, Anthony Schaefer, Colonel. I mean, the list goes. I mean, it's literally 50, 60, 70 I've seen. I can't keep track of it. They're all coming out saying it's phony, it's bull, it's a distraction for Fast and Furious. That's one of the first times I've seen where the teleprompter readers don't know what to do when every analyst they've got on is saying this is baloney and actually thinking about government staging a crisis for political control. So that shows that reality is really starting to seep in on the prostitutes.
Oh, yeah, it's seeping in, all right. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the military that don't want another war. I mean, Gates didn't want the Libyan war. You go back and read the lines that were coming out of the Pentagon. They were against this thing. The three witches of Macbeth, you know, that are alive today, Hillary Clinton, that Rice over there, Samantha Rice over at the UN, or whatever her name is, something Rice and Powers and National Security. These three women are the ones that pushed it on us. And it's still going on. You know, this one that was going to be a humanitarian mission to save the people. Have you looked at the photos of these bombed out cities? And not one of the prostitutes are reporting the amount of dead Libyans.
Well, they're also...
And then they come out with the arrogance that, hey, you know, them Iranians over there, they were trying to kill a Saudi. They better stop this. Yeah, while the United States is bombing Libya, bombing Afghanistan, we have troops in Iraq, Predator drones flying into Yemen, killing our own citizens without a trial. How about a couple of Predator drones flying into Pakistan? Hey, watch out for them Iranians, even though it's coming out as another big lie. You know, from the Gulf of Tonkin, that never happened, that killed 60,000 of our troops, wounded over 300,000 for the Vietnam War, killed millions over there. Even though the big lies of they don't have weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda in Iraq, what this Iranian thing does, you see, Alex, for the people that don't know, they pick up the soundbite, and now they hate the Iranians. So now what they'll do, even if they lose on this one, it's another one under their arm, another piece in the book. So when another false flag comes and they throw another war on us, they'll add up enough to get a lot of the sheeple to follow.
Well, that was my next point. They're already saying... you're right. They're already saying that, well, you don't buy this. We've got more fake Iranian stories about to come out.
Exactly. When all else loses, they take you to war. These are sociopaths and psychopaths. You could call them presidents or prime ministers. You could clean it up any way you want. You have to call a spade a spade. These people are sick. They're mass murderers. Can anybody say that line? They're mass murderers. They're killing innocent people for fake reasons.
Well, you're saying it, and it's true. I mean, take this Fast and Furious. The court documents are all there. It's in the El Paso Times, Chicago Tribune, four or five other big papers have been doing series on it. But it's not just ATF ordering gun shops to sell guns to illegals and drug dealers. That's a cover story. The ATF, in one shipment alone, it's now in the court record admitted, shipped 2,000 guns to Sinaloa drug cartel and allowed them to ship tons of cocaine in to launder it through U.S. banks. They're caught red-handed, Gerald, just like Bank of America caught stealing houses they don't own. I mean, when you say they're criminals, they really are. I mean, it's one thing to have boss hog corrupt government. We've had that before. But now it's not enough. Now the criminals want to stick their hands down our pants. Now the criminals want to set up checkpoints on the highway. Now the criminals, I mean, they've got checkpoints now 100 miles into Texas where they just let the illegals drive through, but pull citizens out of their cars, put dogs in them. They ask me, they say, I want to search your car. And I say, the government deals drugs. The Border Patrol is in the government documents letting through certain shipments. I don't deal drugs like you. I mean, how obvious does it have to get? And where is it going with these crooks? Because, Gerald, they know we're waking up to them, and so they're just trying to waddle in now and say, we're taking your rights, because look, hand puppet, scary Iranian, he's going to get you.
That's, and they're doing it worldwide, by the way. They're doing it in Italy, they're doing it in Spain, they're doing it in the UK. They're cracking down more and more on the people as they keep losing control, and that's what's really happening. So as you see, the whole, what this is really about is that the bottom line has collapsed. The world is in the Great Depression. There's no way out. They're blaming others. Look what's going on over here. We heard Timothy Geithner going over to the European Union meeting over there and telling them to get their act together and straighten this mess out. Oh, yeah, like they could fix it. You know, Sarkozy and Merkel are getting together, putting their heads together, you know, Laurel and Hardy are going to fix the whole problem.
All they know how to do is steal.
Exactly. So then, they're blaming the Europeans. They're blaming the Chinese now. What I'm trying to say, Alex, is they're diverting the attention away from the big issue. And the big issue is this. You talked about all the criminals. You talked about them in the TSA. You talked about them with the FBI. You talked about them with Homeland Security. You talked about them with the government.
Stay there with the big point. Stay there. We got to go to break. Sorry, Gerald. All right, we are back live. Gerald Celente got interrupted by the break. He was making the point that we talk about the criminality by any yardstick in history. This is a on fire, flaming tyranny. They are going through every historical example of oppression and secret police. Stuff that when I was growing up was just, everybody knew was Soviet Union or beyond it. Gerald, you were making a point. Please continue.
Yes, the point is, have you seen one head roll? Not
no.
One. Hello?
No, I mean, I'm listening. You're right. We haven't seen one.
I mean, I'm asking you.
No.
Have you seen anybody doing any time? I saw Cheney making the rounds, hawking his new book, you know? And all the prostitutes, nobody threw him the hard question. The war was started for fake reasons. You know what his response is? No one can deny that the world is better off without Saddam Hussein. Oh, yeah, my life is great. Everything's dandy without Saddam. Hey, listen, Dick, or is it penis, Cheney? You said that they had weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. You destroyed a whole country. You ruined the lives of so many thousands of our people and slaughtered hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Iraqis. How about the facts? How about bringing him and Bush up on war criminal charges? How about that Tony the Poodle Blair over there in the UK? How about all these people that you mentioned? Not one of them head roll. The only ones that get stopped are you and me and all the rest of the people out there that have become slaves to the system. It's as clear as that.
No, that's it. They're criminals, and they're trying to they're criminals and they're trying to break our will and train us that we are their prisoners. So what do we do about it, Gerald, and where is it going?
My only solution, and I keep talking about it, is direct democracy. Because any adult thinking that, oh, we're going to give Congress a list of our demands. Oh, yeah, and the Bananos and the Gambinos are going to become nice overnight and listen to you. No, we have to vote. If we could vote for politicians, we can vote for issues. We do not have a representative form of government. The only people they represent are the people that give them money. And people say to me, well, Mr. Salenti, if we let the people vote, we'll have mob rule. Yeah, just like we have it now. The mob is ruling. They call the Republicans and the Democrats a gang of 535 congressmen telling 312 million people what to do and run our lives. What, are you kidding me or what? They don't represent me. If I could vote on bank online, I could vote online. You want to take us to war? You want to end the war? You want to keep the war on drugs going? You want to keep reinstituting the Patriot Act? Let the people vote. That, to me, is the only solution.
Well, there's no doubt that our republic is broken. My issue is the awakening is happening. We're going to go to break. We've got 15 more minutes with Gerald. I want to talk about the trends you see coming in the future, because so often we talk about, okay, things are unfolding as you said they would. What do you see in your crystal ball? We're going to break here in a moment, but go ahead and tell us about your latest Trends Journal and the best way to visit the website, Gerald.
Well, the new Trends Journal is going to be out next week, the autumn edition. And it's trendsjournal.com. And as you know, we make it available to everyone. If you can't afford the full price, just fill out the discount request form. Because the more people that keep moving ahead inspired and find the greatness within themselves and plan for the future to see what's going to happen before it happens, the better the opportunities and chances
are. You're right. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, we're here. Also, we come back 7 o'clock every evening with InfoWars Nightly News. Got a great crew working hard to bring you hardcore info. No holds barred truth and defense of liberty. 7 o'clock, premiering at PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWarsNews.com. And the guy that heads up the Trends Research Institute is Gerald Salente. Before he leaves us in 15 minutes, we'll tell you where to get the Trends Alerts, the journal, and more. This is a short segment. We'll come back in the next segment, Gerald. But getting into future trends, you say, well, you're heartened by people actually getting in the streets, even if they're not completely focused. But you were acting like you didn't predict that. I mean, you did say 4 or 5 years ago you'd start seeing taxpayer rebellions, and that's the Tea Party. And we have the Occupy the Fed movement going after the white shoe boys. What do you predict coming up in the future, Gerald?
Well, just going back to that, no, I did predict it. I was just wondering what was taking them so long. And I realized it, that it's not I'm mad as hell anymore and I'm not going to take it. It's not a head issue. Now it's a gut issue. I'm broke as hell and I have nothing to lose. That's very different. And by the way, Alex, I wrote this book, Trends 2000, in 1996. It was a Warner book. It was a national bestseller.
No, I remember my dad reading it.
I predicted in this book the uncivil wars and that people would be taking to Wall Street because of the gap between the rich and the poor. So what we're saying is this is the beginning of the total movement. The entire world economic system is collapsing. So what am I doing? I'm still very heavily invested in gold, and now I've bought some silver. And I'm back in silver because I'm concerned that just as they throw these false flags out there, They're going to start blaming people who buy gold and speculate in the market for crashing the fiat currencies. So as you well know, they regulated the supply and sale of gold before, and I'm concerned they might do that again. So that's why I'm in both precious metals.
Well, I tend to agree with you, Gerald. They're really starting to beat the drum in that direction. So what do? I mean, I'm to the point where I'm buying my gold and I'm not turning it into these crooks.
Well, my gold's away from here. They're not going to be able to get it unless they could swim really far, you know? And I don't intend to. They're not going to get it. They won't be able to find it unless they go to another country to get it. So having said that, what I'm saying to people is that this is not going to be the autumn of an Arab Spring type. This is going to be the winter of discontent. This thing is collapsing real quick. The issues over in Europe have not gone away. Dexia, that huge bank, that huge French-Belgian bank, collapsed a week ago.
Do you know they've had five of them collapse? They've had five banks collapse in the last 2 weeks.
But Dexia alone, do you know what it's costing Belgium to bail them out? It's equivalent to 17% of their GDP, 2% of France's GDP. This is one stinking bank. Multiply that. There's no way of bailing them out. Greeks are about $500 billion in debt. The pigs, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Spain, are $4.5 trillion in debt. They're not going to be able to bail them out. They're only going to keep printing this digital money that's not worth the paper it's not printed on. So we're telling people, be prepared this winter. Oh, you know what they're doing over there in Greece? As though it's not hard enough, they're just raising the costs and taxes on heating fuel, getting ready for the winter. We'll give it to them again. The same
Stay
thing
there.
Is going to happen
Stay
here.
Stay there, Gerald. I want to come back and talk more about trends you see coming up and finish up with the austerity measures hitting Europe and now the United States. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, it's our final segment with Gerald Celente, and then coming up at the bottom of the hour, part two of our interview live, we'll be talking to Dr. Steve Pachanik again about this attempt to move us towards war with Iran. As Ray McGovern and others have concurred, this is the closest to war we've been. They've tried several times. We'll talk about the ramifications of that and hit some other important news that's at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But finishing up with Gerald Celente, who just joined us, he was getting into the fact that the mainstream corporate prostitutes, as he calls them, continue, and Osama bin Bernanke and the rest of them, to tell us, another one of his funny phrases I love, continues, tell us everything's fine. There's been no recession. It's been over for years. But now they're starting to say, well, it's the greatest challenge since the Great Depression. And their answer is, let these big banker heads steal trillions out the back door, have record bonuses, but then bankrupt the banks and get more taxpayer money, and then lecture us how it's our fault. And that's my only problem with Occupy Wall Street. Some of them don't understand higher taxes, higher regulation. That all goes to the white shoe boys, to the insiders, to the establishment types. And again, white shoe boy, another great Gerald Celente term. But that's who, kind of the white tuxedo boys. I mean, you know, these are the so-called elite of the elite. They think we exist to be toilet paper for them. And there's no end to their hubris and raw criminal behavior. The good news is I'm reading in Spain and in Greece and other areas, restaurants are all refusing to even charge the VAT, period. You got Herman Cain pushing for new VAT taxes to pay off our, quote, debt here. He means the Federal Reserve he worked for. And so they're going to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. Gerald, will they be successful? Again, how does this end historically, looking into your crystal ball?
Here it is. Autumn 2009. The second American Revolution has begun. It's happening. It's what you were talking about, Alex. Enough people are waking up. This is real. The white shoe boys are so far out of touch. You listen to the comments by Cain, as you mentioned. Mitt Romney. Let's not look for scapegoats as he chastises the Wall Street protesters. Scapegoats? Oh no, they're not angry. They're looking for scapegoats. They're looking for financial pigs and corporate vultures, just like you, Romney. And then you listen to billionaire Bloomberg. Ah, they're protesting against the wrong people. Do you know what Bloomberg said, Alex? Those people on Wall Street, you know what kind of money they're making on average, according to His Honor the billionaire? Oh, $40,000 or $50,000 a year. Yeah, right. You know what they're making on Wall Street on average, Alex? Try $360,000 a year. Oh, that's according to the New York State Comptroller's Office. I'm not making that number up. They're so far out of touch. You see, Bloomberg is right. You know who's making $40,000 or $50,000 a year? The groundskeepers over at the country club. The people that hand them the little washcloths, you know, the servants and the toilets. Those are the people making $40,000 or $50,000 a year. So they have no idea what's going on. We are entering very closely, Alex, to a let them eat cake moment, because that's how far removed they are. The revolution has begun, and they will not admit it. They will try to stop it. They won't be able to.
Well, Gerald, here's my next question for you. I have USA Today here in my hot little hand. And they're saying now, starting at Boston, but then all over the country, they're going to stop and talk to you and ask you where you're going, why you're going, who you're going to visit. They call it a chat down, but they're also going to keep the groping of the genitals, the wave shish kebabbing. And now you're going to have a TSA person, the people literally every day caught robbing and pedophiling and everything else. They're now saying that you're going to have to answer these guys' questions. Listen, that's worse than being put in a barbecue machine, having them act like I've done something wrong. I mean, should I say to them, I need to assess, are you one of these myriad TSA that are pedophiles or that are robbing people's bags? I mean, this is all about a secret police. Now the NFL are going to grope from the ankles up and grab your breast and genitals. And they go, just get tough, take it. It's not that I'm not tough, it's that I want to get angry when somebody sticks their hands between my legs. Okay, that's for my, again, Gerald, how much do we have to take from this bureaucratic, snot-nosed class that works for these filthy bankers?
Exactly, that's it. They're nothing more than enforcers for the political and financial crime bosses. Let's call it what it is, fascism. It's not only the TSA. I mean, you get stopped by a cop. Where you coming from? Where you going? You know, hey, does your mother still have sex with dogs? I mean, that's what I'd like to ask them. You know, I mean, what's going on in this country? We got a bunch of people that are trying to break down our will and our spirit, rob us of our self-respect. And they're doing it because the system is collapsing. And so what they're going to keep doing, as you said, they're going to keep groping and getting inside us as close as they can to break down our will and spirit. They're going to lose.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Listen, Gerald, I'm sorry, I interrupted you to repeat that. I'm seeing this TSA stuff and all this doing the opposite. It's enraging us. But I think because they're little bootlicking chicken wimps themselves, they think we're like them. No, the American people see this Nazi Germany garbage for what it is, and it's enraging them. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right. And that's what I'm saying. The revolution has begun. They're going to do everything they can in Gestapo USA to keep pushing us down so we don't rise up. The human spirit is rising. What's going on again, you know, with this Occupy Wall Street? It's in Birmingham, it's in Portland, it's in Seattle, it's in Denver, it's in Fort Collins, it's in Trenton. It's happening all over. The people have had it, you know my saying. When people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And the white shoe boys in their gated communities are not going to be protected from it. And I'll tell you why they're coming out so strongly against it. Because in the back of their mind, they can see a guillotine in a theater playing near you soon. And that's what they're afraid of.
Gerald, when I interrupted you, it sounded like you were starting to say New World Order. What was it you were about to say a minute or two ago?
It is a New World Order, and not that one. A New World Order is taking place to overthrow the old one. Alex, they use the term democracy. Oh, we have a democracy in France, a democracy in the United States, in Italy. They're not democracies. These are mafia clubs with fancy names, you know. Like, they have people like Jean-Paul Trichet and Christina Legrand. No, Lucky Luciano and Al Capone. And the people are getting hip to it. These are not democracies. We have a small group of people telling us what to do, and the rest of the people are rebelling. Look, we've had people down on Occupy Wall Street since it began, and we've been talking to everybody. They don't like any of them. They don't like the Republicans. They hate the Democrats. You know who a lot of these people are? Ron Paul supporters.
No, I agree. But the people that the mainstream media shows are the people that want higher taxes and more austerity. So they skew it. And then we tried to have Ron Paul signs. They have organizers come over and say, shut up. But, you know, that's why they fired Hank Williams Jr. from Monday Night Football. What he actually said on Fox News was, I hate all these Republicans, the American people, 89% hate Congress, I'm sick of them all. And then he made the Hitler comment, they took that out of context. They went after him because he was saying, I'm sick of everybody.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. There is going to be a new world order. The ones that the elites have put in place is breaking down. Something else is going to happen. Again, the second American Revolution has begun. We are inspiring the whole world. There are Occupy now in Seoul, in Sydney, in Melbourne, in Taiwan, in London, in Tokyo. They are picking up the greatness of the American spirit that they have been trying to push down for so long, with their stupidity and with their manipulation. You can't kill the human spirit.
Well, beautiful, beautifully said. And they're not going to be able to co-opt Occupy Wall Street completely. They're not going to be able to co-opt the Tea Party completely. They're not going to be able to have minimum wage people groping us, making us submit. It only makes us wake up and take action. Gerald, again, I know you've got several URLs to get to the Trends Journal. Which one is the best one for people to go to?
TrendsJournal.com, TrendsJournal.com. And also, for those people that believe or want to learn more about direct democracy, please go to DirectDemocracy.org. The future is in your hands. Either you create the greatness of what this country and world could be, or somebody else is going to create it for you. They're waiting online to do it, and you're not going to like it.
Gerald Celente, thanks for spending time with us. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Alex.
Well, that was an amazing interview. We're going to go to break. I'm going to cover a few other news items. And Dr. Steve Pachenik's going to pop back in. He was with us for two segments yesterday. He'll be with us for two segments again today. Love him or hate him, he certainly is a big insider. And he says they're really green-lighting the attack. I got some good news from Schaefer. He thinks that's being backed off from Colonel Schaefer. And we've also got Ray McGovern saying, no, this is the green light unless we get the word out. So it's a very, very dangerous time right now. And the bankers want a war, even if it's disastrous, to distract off of what they're doing, and fast and furious. And then don't forget, coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, Aaron Dykes. Last night, doing the InfoWars Nightly News, was, of course, the Health Ranger, Mike Adams. Appreciate the great job he did. And also all these amazing guests, information research. We couldn't do any of it without our wonderful crew. The InfoWars crew, I salute you. Gerald wanted to clarify as he went to break, it's directdemocracynow.com is the website he was promoting. You know, I don't particularly like direct democracy versus a republic. The problem is we don't even have a republic. So my concern is during a crisis, the globalists could manipulate people into stampeding into anything. But as long as there were basic rules, that's really what a republic is, where you can't take somebody's private property if it wasn't taken through ill gain. I mean, I see some crooks take over. But it's so far gone at this point. Just getting people to think about political systems is great. So we really like Gerald Celente, obviously. Great, great, great mind. Very interesting fellow. Look, we got some really incredible news. In fact, we can even put this up on screen while I'm talking about it in the featured news section. Press TV has been taken off the air in the UK. The war for our freedom of speech is now on. I've been a guest on Iranian TV. I've been a guest on Japanese TV, Russian TV, British TV. Neocons write articles and say, he's an Iranian agent. He was on their TV. He was on British TV. He's a redcoat. I mean, it's just mindlessness, but pretty mild stuff on there. But the British news is reporting the royal family didn't like reports on Press TV about their opulent lifestyle. And so it's been taken off the air in the UK. And I was talking to one UK channel that wants to put my TV show on, and they said, but the problem is the censors call, and they could take our whole channel away if we criticize vaccines. They told us, just don't talk bad about vaccines. I'm like, well, what if you have proof? Well, just they can take our license. So that's the type of garbage we have there. IAEA to release evidence. Iran secretly working on nuke program. Kurt Nemo has that. Notice this is all coming right on time. And Representative King labels Iran terror plot act of war. Republican congressman says Obama should have troops on standby for military response. This is how serious the green lighting is. Scientific study confirms Ron Paul being given least FaceTime in debates. Even worse than Gary Johnson. I mean, Ron Paul get 3-4 minutes. The others get on average about 8.5. Go look at that article just to show you how scared they are of him. They're not scared of Mr. 999. They're like, give us those new taxes. Continuing here, House bill would criminalize satire of TSA. Go read the bill. In fact, the evil thought crime cartoon Kurt Nemo has in the article would be illegal. Also, Nemo's been on fire lately. I told him to make some nom de guerres or some pen names because it's like half the articles are written by him. I'm just joking. He's a great guy. It's just that but you know what? We can't find folks like Nemo. Nemo's don't grow on trees. Neither do Watsons or Dykes's. Or Stevie Watson's. FBI. Records Talk Radio, they've gotten an intelligence agency connected group, a huge contract to record, quote, all internet broadcast talk radio and put it into a database to track all the good little slaves. Assassination plot was pushed by DEA informant, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. You know, some pothead being lured along, but we got to have war with Iran now because the pothead said it was going to get us. It's very frightening. Thank goodness the TSA is going to ask me questions now. And I've got to sit there and please them. They're no fly, and they're going to be at the sports stadiums and checkpoints on the highways. And now at high school proms, TSA going down the pants. Well, hey, pedophiles need jobs too. I mean, come on. Continuing here, Petraeus, CIA fuels Iran murder plot. Ray McGovern got a report on that. We had him on in the first hour. We had Anthony Schaefer on, of course, after that. And then Gerald Celente. What a jam-packed transmission. And so that's just some of the news that we've got up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Cops have broken up Occupy Denver camp. Now what happened is that a month ago, Adbusters and other Democratic connected groups, they put out calls for Occupy Wall Street thinking Democrats could then show up and steer it. That failed. So Democrats went from praising it 2 weeks ago and last week to now, yeah, all over the country, breaking up the camps and getting rid of people because too many Ron Paul supporters showed up, started educating them. So now they've shifted from trying to make it about, we want more taxes to pay Warren Buffett and Lord Rothschild, tax people making $5, give it to banks and austerity. That didn't work. And so now they've shifted gears into cracking down on them all over the place. And so that's just some of the news there. We're going to go to break and come back with Dr. Steve Pachinik. When I'm on the road, I don't tend to plug the online video bookstore / apparel store. But that's how you fund our operation. Plus, everything in there is about getting the word out. whether it's the Don't Tread on Me, Alex Jones signed flags, or the Infowars.com camouflage or Hunter Orange caps. Everything in there is about getting the word out, unless you're talking about the ProPure best gravity-fed filters out there. It blows everything away. Look at the side-by-side comparisons with the leading competition.
We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude. People can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy.
Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning. Perhaps you had better start from the beginning.
Too many kids are what's making the planet worse.
A lot of these kids come from bad gene pools. They don't have stable parents making good decisions.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm, kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Fluoride in water is supposed to fight tooth decay, but could it also cause cancer?
Turns out the government had the right under U.S. law to conduct secret testing on the American public under specific conditions.
We have to work the dark side, or we're going to spend time in the shadows.
Any attempt to achieve world order must be the work of the devil. Well, join me. I'm glad to sit here at the right hand of Satan.
There's a need for a new world order. Someday, in the next few years, a solution will emerge.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. We're here live, coming back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. I'm Alex Jones. You have found it, the front lines in the info war and the fight for worldwide freedom and defense of our constitutional republic. Our websites are Infowars.com and, of course, PrisonPlanet.tv. And we'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, with Aaron Dykes. We'll be hosting Infowars Nightly News this evening, and they'll have a rundown posted later in the day at Infowars.com with what's coming up. Now, I want to attempt, it's not hard to give him the floor because he's got a lot to say, to ask a few questions to Dr. Pechenik and then have him just go through them. Obviously, co-author with many best-selling books with Tom Clancy. He's produced movies, TV shows, but he's less known for being involved in programs with the death of basically manipulating the communist of the prime minister of Italy, overthrowing other governments, writing psychological warfare manual for the State Department, running operations himself, including assassinations worldwide. So he's a real insider expert on what's happening. And we saw Dr. Pechenik come out yesterday. We've seen Bob Baer, the former CIA black op field guy, come out and say this whole Iranian plot's totally fake to get us into a war with Iran. We've seen Colonel Schaefer come on earlier and say he's no fan of Iran, but this is totally sage. Then he has FBI sources that he met with again who've got high-level security clearance in the FBI. They say it's totally fake. He was on with us for 30 minutes last hour. Or the hour before that now. So much coming out, ladies and gentlemen. And you've got this big Iran expert from the last Bush administration coming out on CNN, you name it, saying it's all totally fake. Now we learn the affidavit that the guy was a mindless pothead, drunk car salesman. Not being bad being a car salesman, but that's what he was. And he was trying to do a drug deal. It was all just made up. The informant just made it all up. That's all coming out in the news. But Representative Peter King and others say this is an act of war, launch a war, that we're being told more Iran stuff's about to come out. So my questions are, why is this happening now? Is it just a smokescreen from Fast and Furious and Obama shipping guns into Mexico and drugs back in? That's in the federal court documents. They're hoping the media doesn't look at that. It's public. We've posted links to the federal courthouse showing it. Or is it about getting Netanyahu out of trouble? Or is it all the same, the global financial meltdown? Do they need a war? What is happening here? And is it good news that we're seeing, I counted up yesterday and today, more than 60 former and current top analysts, Pentagon, and CIA, State Department, all coming out And going against the teleprompter readers, they're all saying war, 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 Iran wants to get us. But all the analysts, I mean, I'd say 90% I've seen are saying this is total baloney. I can't think of a time where I saw that. I talked to Colonel Schaefer earlier. He said his Pentagon sources say they don't have the assets. Even if they wanted to do it, it's not happening. But other sources like Ray McGovern, who was on earlier, he says the word is they're really going for it. So let's see what Dr. Pachinik has to say. Sir, you've got the floor for the balance of the 22 minutes we've got left. You heard my questions. Please try to address them as best you can.
Thank you very much, and I want to thank your audience. Number one, I think the fact that 60 to 70 analysts came forward is in part, you have to take some credit that at stations, that people like you and others who are willing to brave the psyops of not just one administration. We're going all the way back to the Clinton administration, which did the rendition. By the way, Bill Clinton reaffirmed that his wife was correct about the assumptions. This is one of the biggest pathological liars in the world, reaffirming another pathological liar statement. So you see where we have a compounding pathological liars. Then we have Bush Jr., who made up all of the 9/11 stand out false flag, distorted the intelligence data coming in to invade Iraq, and now you have Obama following in the course of Bush Jr. and Clinton and what's happening in the United States. And I'm very proud of our analysts, our intelligence operatives out there, and particularly the military, who have said this is enough. Many generals and colonels and non-commissioned officers can't stand out right now because they don't want to be called on charges of treason. I do not speak on their behalf, but I do, as a former veteran, a former colonel, retired, say the following. It is enough. The American public is disgusted with the elected officials, both Republicans and Democrats. What we have not heard was any one of the Democratic senators, congressmen standing up and denouncing what was a clear travesty of justice. At the same time, I have not heard Romney or Perry say anything. Let alone Perry, who's the governor of your state. And by the way, we do have an invasion, but ironically, it's not Iran, because Iran doesn't need to invade us. They do not have targeted assassinations here. The target assassinations I dealt with in Iran with the MEK, which is called the Mujahideen, and we have people like the former FBI director, Free, and others, including Dean, Howard Dean, supporting the delisting of a terrorist group, which is literally a terrorist group, killed a lot of my operatives in the 1970s and 80s in Tehran, who are, in fact, assassins. I don't excuse Ahmadinejad. I don't excuse Khamenei, but I have worked against them, but I have worked effectively against really an assassination group, which is and still is the Mujahideen. So what we have here is distortion, psyop, disinformation. What we have on the other side, the incredibly great news, is that you, and I give you a lot of credit, and your audience, and the 10 million people are listening, that they're being informed, and that the alternative media, which is what we're considered, or the conspiracy group, which is what we're titled, is really, in fact, the mainstream media. And the people that you see, and I was quite impressed that CNN did bring in an analyst who denounced this. I was very impressed that the Abramson, the new editor-in-chief of the New York Times, did run this article on this wayward bum, really, Iranian, who no Iranian official or operative would ever use this type of individual to engage in any form of counterterrorism or terrorism. Now, the issue there was it was so obvious because the DEA is an organization which should have been evaluated and literally downsized very quickly. It is a corrupt, ineffectual organization. I have dealt with them in Panama and elsewhere. They play double tricks. They double every agent. They themselves are exceedingly corrupt, but nobody monitors them. And our congressmen and senators are not capable of monitoring them, as is the ATF, another organization that has absolutely no utility whatsoever. We've talked about the CIA and the fact that they've been out of control for a very, very long time. I've said repeatedly that Obama's parents had nothing to do with the false birth as much as his mother was CIA, his grandfather was CIA, and his grandmother. The question is, this president does not belong here. He has shown repeatedly that he is incapable of managing a domestic economy. He is shown incapable of running and understanding what it means, a health care program, and he has been in bed repeatedly with the bankers. And the worst banker of all, and the worst wealth manager, was Warren Buffett, who is now playing an amazing game of psyops with the young protesters in New York and Chicago. This is a man who claims that he will increase his taxes, and of course only paid 17% of his taxes, that he would need $69 million, but didn't tell anybody that he also invested in the Bank of America at $5 billion with an 8% interest. He didn't tell you that he owned 40% of Moody's, which went under, and he was guilty of criminal activities, but was never indicted.
Well, so he gets the banker bailout money, but Steve.
No more war. No more.
No, go ahead.
And we want jobs. It's very simple. If they were recruited as we were in the Vietnam days, eras, they would have been violently fighting with the police and the military. And they would have said, this is enough. They are not being drafted. But in fact, their entire future is being co-opted by a man who has never served our country, Obama, who never will serve our country, who has always been a panderer, a liar, and ineffectual. And now to have placed another element of disinformation on top of the Osama bin Laden stupidity, which was beyond disinformation and a total disrespect for our special forces, who in fact have been involved in 24/7 operations all over the world. And that's not to denigrate the SEALs, because the SEALs are quite formidable. For Admiral Mueller to make a show and tell out of this, a man whose father was an agent in the William Morris Agency or a publicist, and to promote his own self-aggrandizement by touting SEALs who in fact never did kill Osama bin Laden, because the man's been dead for 10 years, what we have here is a problem in civilian control. What we have repeatedly has been the failure of the political establishment, starting from the Clinton era to Bush Jr. to the Obama era. And that failure, it delegitimizes the political entity, whether you're Republican or Democrats. I do not see a very helpful future in our politicians. I have not seen Romney or Kaine or Perry stand forward. Above all,
so
in your area, for example, you are now being occupied in Austin, Texas, and you probably know this, Alex Jones, by one of the cartel members, which is called the Familia Michoacana, the FLM cartel, which is literally in Austin, Texas. They are trading in drugs. I have not heard a DEA official. I have not heard a CIA official. I have not heard Governor Perry say anything about the fact that you have an active cartel working in American soil in Austin, Texas. Yet they have all the time and effort to try to start a stand-down phenomenon in order to bail out Netanyahu. Now, who was Netanyahu? I knew Netanyahu when he was his 30s, and he came in as the deputy chief of mission. I knew his father better because he was my teacher at Cornell, an exceedingly bright man. And I knew of his brother, who was a very brave soldier in the Israeli Defense Force, who led all of his men into battle on the raid of Entebbe. And Netanyahu has no shame walking on the body of his brother, on the blood that his brother shed in order for him, in order for people to be saved in the Entebbe raid. He himself is not a war hero. He himself is not a man of integrity. He is a totally dysfunctional, self-aggrandizing politician who has had very little strategic sense of where to go with Israel or to take the opportunity to make peace with the Palestinians. Now, every time he denigrates Hamas, I warn the Israelis to be very careful, because when I worked on the West Bank, the first thing that the PLO members told me, working in Jericho and sacrificing my life in Jericho, Bethlehem, and Belzeth, is that the Israelis had created Hamas as a counterforce to the PLO. Why did they create Hamas? Because they needed a counterforce to the Sunni Muslims, and this group Hamas would have influence from the Iranians. So they thought this was a very clever game, and what happened is it's a blowback. So for Netanyahu to say that we have a terrorist group that wants to exterminate the Jews, it's fallacious, it's disinformation, and he has to account for the fact that the Israeli IDF and the Shin Bet, the internal security, created Hamas as a way of creating low-intensity conflict, or as Kissinger would often say, strategic tension in the area to maintain the sovereignty of Israel. Now, those of you who think Israel has always been a Jewish homeland for the Jews, better think again. Israel was created by Zionists, not only Jews. They were created by Polish Jews, Ben-Gurion in particular, who allowed millions of Jews to perish in the death camps because Eichmann, who came in 1937, by the way, spelled Hebrew, asked him, would you do a transfer exchange for thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Jews for transportation trucks? Ben-Gurion said no, and his right-hand man said, I would rather have cows than Jews. And that was the beginning of the State of Israel. This is how the Jewish agency handled refugee Jews who were in the camps and being exterminated. So let no Christian or fundamentalist or Muslim or Jew think that in any way Israel is more sanctimonious than any other country. It was America that brought in all the Jews from World War II. And this was what happened. Israel.
Dr. Pachinik, can you hear me?
Jews who were in the camps, not until the war of 1968. Why? Because at that war, they needed more weapon systems. And who did they go to? They went to our president of the United States, and they're working with Nixon. Nixon provided them with jet planes and the necessary equipment that they needed in order to be a major force in the area. From a strategic point of view, Israel is no longer a valuable ally to us. Why? Because it has created a lot of problems. It has not, in fact, committed itself to what it should have done many years ago, and that was the recognition of the state of Palestine, the honorable release of the Gaza Strip, which was absolutely inhumane for them to restrict because it happened to all the Jews. In part, this was the result of the incompetence of a lot of our negotiators. In particular, I can name Dennis Ross, who worked for me. He worked for the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, and he has been totally, totally incompetent.
Okay.
Handle this situation. So
okay.
What happens is because
Pachinik is on a cell phone, and when he's dialed in, he can't hear me when I talk. So we're going to go to break here in a moment, then I'll come back and ask some more questions. But interesting stuff he's getting into on Israel. Doc, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I have.
Okay, great. You were saying a lot of really interesting things there. You know, I've actually had Jewish scholars I've seen write the books about the, I'd rather have, you know, cows in Palestine than one, you know, than one Jew. And they were trying to make the Jews pay money to the folks setting up Israel to be able to get out of Nazi Germany. And that's actually true. I've actually read that in, you know, I mean, the mainline documents. Most people don't know about that. Obviously, you're well informed. You do. We're going to break. We're going to come back and talk about that and a lot more on the other side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, we are talking to Steve Pachinik here today with us. We may have to do a little bit of overdrive for 5 minutes in the next hour so we can finish up his point on the other side. Again, I am not in the studio today. I'm here joining you via Skype as well. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay with us.
Baby, baby, I'm gonna leave.
We're back live, and I actually can't go into overdrive today. I'd like to invite Dr. Pachinik back on with us for another 30 minutes next week if he can do it. He's joining us via cell phone, so sometimes he can't hear me when I'm talking to him. Doc, you know, I read on your Wikipedia, I mean, of course, you don't know if that's true. A lot of stuff on Wikipedia about me isn't true, but it talks about you were born in Cuba, then lived in France before you came to the U.S., and that yourself were at least part Jewish, so I guess that might be, if that's true, one reason you're so informed historically on this. If you want to tell us, it just would be an interesting piece of history. But then in closing, is the war on for Iran, or were they trying to, and this failed, and now they're talking about more plots? Oh, you don't believe that? We've got more ridiculous plots for us. So take us out with that information today, sir.
Much personal and factual. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's just, I mean, I brought up the personal thing, just, you know, on the whole issue of Israel, you know a lot about it. I was wondering if your Wikipedia...
I know Israel very well, because Israel, there was two Israels. The creation of the state was done so that there was a place for Jews who were coming out of the camps, but not in literally. They wanted to base Israel. Most people have to understand Ben-Gurion practiced law in Istanbul, in Turkey. His model was Ataturk. Ataturk was very clear that he wanted a secular state with a strong military. That's really what was built. They didn't really care about religious Jews or the Jews in the camps. What they had in mind in the Zionist Socialist Organization was to have young Jews, people who could build the country, and at all costs, and then go to war. What Israel has never done repeatedly was one to admit the genocide that they officially recognized years ago against the Palestinians. There is no question that the Haganah and the Palmach and different units of the Israeli army at that time had slaughtered and forced people who are now considered Palestinians out of the land, out of Jaffa, out of the different areas of Israel. And if Israel is to come to terms with anyone in the Middle East, they have to, number one, admit what they have done. Number two, come to terms that they are a nation, not a spoiled child, as Erdogan say, of America, and continuously whining and complaining and holding on to the Dennis Rosses and the Clintons and the presidents of the United States, threatening them that the Jewish vote in the United States will not back them. That will no longer be true. J-Star started. There are many American Jews and others like myself who know the history of Israel so well that it's really quite shameful. Let me ask you a question, and I want you to answer because you're an extremely knowledgeable man. How many Jews were in Hitler's army?
Reportedly, thousands.
How many thousands?
I've read it in quite a few history books, but I never asked. Yeah.
135,000 Jews in Hitler's army. This is not my association. You have to read a book by Brian Riggs, R-I-G-G-S. He's a very brilliant former IDF Marine man who's a banker, actually, in Texas. He wrote a very brilliant book called The Jews, The German Jews in Hitler's Army. This is very well documented. The number one man who was in charge of the decimation of Jews was Heydrich in the SS. He was a Jew. His father was a Jew. And Israel can deny it.
You're talking about the blonde beast.
In fact, he was born in Austria. The two heads of the five field commanders, if you take away Dinitz and you take away Rommel, were Jews. Bloch and another both had developed the Blitzkrieg and the Anschluss. These were brilliant generals who were converted to Aryans. So the notion of the history of how Holocaust came about is totally distorted by Israel in favor of what Israel needed for its national security.
Sir, we're out of time. We'll have to get back to this next time. Thank you, Steve Pachinik. Hopefully there's not going to be war with Iran. We'll see you back Sunday and back Monday.